We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Senator DePalma, the Finance Committee in the Senate heard testimony yesterday on Governor Raimondo's college tuition proposal. Where do you stand on that, and how do you expect the General Assembly to ultimately act on the proposal?
So I support the proposal. I've done a fair amount of analysis on the proposal. Also, looking back, I always speak to myself. I plan to support it. We have 113 members, so we'll see.
How come you support it?
I look back, and it's the right thing to do at the time. If we remember the Committee of 10, most of us won't remember 1892. 1893, the Committee of 10 released its report. Prior to 1893, education was first grade through ninth grade. They realized back then that that was no more necessary and sufficient. They said it was necessary but not sufficient. Coming out of the Committee of 10 was 8 grades in elementary, 4 years in high school. Fast forward to where we are now. High school is no longer necessary and sufficient. It's necessary. What's now necessary and sufficient is 2 more years of college.
And there's some thinking that the governor's proposal might be truncated to include only CCRI as some sort of compromise measure. Do you think that's likely to happen?
Unclear. I support the proposal as is, but I'm willing to figure out how to improve the proposal. Do I believe it's perfect? No. We need to figure out how to make it better.
Let's go to Scott.
Something people say is it's not fair for folks on, say, Papasquatch Point or Blackstone Boulevard to be able to send their children to a state college for free. Now, in New York, Andrew Cuomo, the governor over there, has a very similar plan to what Governor Raimondo here has proposed, but he's put a means test on it of family income of about $125,000 a year. Could you be amenable to something like that?
I could, but it would not be something I would support on going out.
Why?
I think if we look at back to the Committee of 10 in 1892 in the United States of America, we didn't look at and said, and prior to that, only those of means had their children go to high school. Those who didn't, didn't. We didn't say back then, I think it goes back to the case in Kalamazoo, Michigan, where they basically said first grade to 12th grade, free education.
For everyone,
regardless of your social economic status.
One of the other big issues at the General Assembly this year is House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello's priority of beginning a phase out of the car tax. Do you think that's the right focus for tax relief? And is it realistic to think the state will be able to sustain a phase out of roughly $215 million in revenue every year?
So I'll work that backwards, Ian. The $215 million is a big number to achieve over of, I think, 5 years, 20% per year. That's a big dollar. We have a lot of issues addressing. In fact, the article that was in the paper had to do with the expected revenues that are behind what the November estimating conference had. We need to be vigilant and see what comes out in May with regards to that. We had a hearing the other day in the Senate Finance Committee looking at all the municipal aid that's provided. I'm not certain it's the right thing to do now. I think we have some other priorities that we need to address. We'll see, though.
What would be your other priorities rather than ameliorating the car tax for people?
I believe it's the looking at the Rhode Island Promise Scholarship is one of those areas that is the right thing to do. If we're looking at jobs in the economy, 11.6 million jobs, I think, were created from the Great Recession till now. 11.5 million, a little more than 11.5 million required what? More than a high school education. I think it was 80,000 jobs out of the 11.6 million U.S. required only a high school education. That's the investment that will help turn the economy to provide the additional needed funds. Do I want to provide property tax relief to my constituents? Absolutely. But everything comes down on a priority basis.
You keep a close eye on the state budget and human service programs, so I wonder if you were shocked that the Raimondo administration did such a bad job in the rollout of UHIP, the IT system for administering human service benefits.
UHIP could have been much better, a much better rollout. And not just from what I evaluate and keep vigilant on from a human services perspective, but that's what I do every day. For 34 years, I've been involved in the building large-scale weapon systems for the United States. Been involved in large-scale integration systems. This is one of those. I have legislation in, others have as well, but at the end of the day, the state does not possess the appropriate project managers that we need to address this. So we were left with listening to and hearing what our contractor said was the issues. And if you're not aware of the questions to ask, you're left with the information. It's basically, I don't know what I don't know. I only know what you tell me. And I think we have some solutions going forward to address that.
Quick follow-up before we go back to Scott, and we're talking with State Senator Louis DePalma, Democrat of Middletown. Are you confident now that the state is on the right track in straightening out the problems with UHIP?
I think we're moving down the path. In fact, I'll be in the process of reaching out to the departments to get a more much more intimate discussion with regards to UHIP. When people talk about defects, I have an appreciation for software defects and what the software density with defects from a software density perspective based on the size of the program. So we can't look at things in out of context. They need to be looked at in context, understand and appreciate the magnitude of the problems. And it's unconscionable. It is irresponsible of what's manifested itself. But we got to get beyond that. We got to fix it post-haste.
A lot of the job development programs the Raimondo administration is doing involve incentives, which is kind of a euphemistic word for taxpayer subsidies. Link Chafee, the former governor, said that some of this reminds him of a candy store. Is the state using too much in taxpayer subsidy to attract business?
I don't believe we are, Scott. I'm familiar with the several contracts, if you look from a federal perspective, where they could have gone to one state, but they went to another state, and we're talking a major weapon system. We're talking in the billions of dollars, mm-hmm. where a particular state subsidized via tax credit to that particular company, and that state received the award, and the state that we're in fact living in did not receive the award. It's a
kind of a slippery slope, isn't it?
Absolutely it is. It's one of those things where it used to be a competitive advantage. Now it's a price of admission. It's similar to the film tax. It's the kind of thing, why are we doing a film tax? I can go to Massachusetts and I get something. I go to Connecticut. It is corporate welfare. Let's not confuse it. It's a giveaway. But at the end of the day, it's part of being able to attract the right kind of businesses. And I think with the way the governor's put it forward, it's only provided once the return on the investment is realized and seen in the state.
The state Senate usually does not air its differences in public, but last week during the leadership change, there were two progressive senators, Senators Kalkin and Golden, who expressed some unhappiness with the situation. On the surface, at least, they have not been punished as far as committee assignments go. What does that tell you about President Ruggiero's leadership style?
I've talked with the Senate president about and have met several times. He wants to have a cohesive group moving forward. He wants to have an inclusive group moving forward. I'm convinced that will occur. I've known him now very closely for 8+ years since being in the Senate before, and I think we'll see that moving forward. And it's about getting things done. At the end of the day, our electors don't necessarily know who's doing what to whom. What they care about are results.
There's a fairly sharp debate going on in Rhode Island and even across the border in Massachusetts, where marijuana is scheduled to be legalized next July. And I'm wondering, 2/3 of our population lives within a 20-minute, 15-minute drive of the Mass border. Is it realistic for Rhode Island not to legalize marijuana?
So, Scott, I believe it is. I do not support legalization of marijuana. For me, it's never a money issue first, even though I sit on the Finance Committee. It's about having the right policy first. Financing second. I realize it might be next to our neighbor, but just because it's next to our neighbor doesn't mean we should do it. We will have a serious debate, I suspect, about it at some point, but I do not plan on supporting the legalization.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here, Ian.
And Democratic State Senator Louis DePalma of Middletown.
Ian, thanks for the invite. I'm glad I was here.